Let's try to make this short. This week's parsha is parsha's Vayishlach. Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim lefonav el Esav Ochiv Arza Seir Sedei Edoim Vayitzav Osam Lema Koy Samun Ladin Esav Koy Ma'abducha Yaakov Lovon Garti Vo'eichor Ad Ata Echob Given Ani Hayiti Im Lovon Garti Ve'eichor Ad Ata Actually, got to the point. What does it mean? Imlovan garti. I lived with Lovan. So Rashi says shnei pirushim. Loshen garti is a loshen muzar. Loshen strange. It's a weird loshen. It's not regular. Lovan garti. First pshat Rashi is I was a ger. I wasn't a sar bechoshiv. Kemosh choshvim that Yaakov was going to come back and he was all like important. I wasn't important. I was a no one. I was a stranger over there. Why is he saying that? He's saying any kedai that you should hate me for the brachas. Yaakov was trying to placate, to pacify his brother. His brother, like, you know, I stole the brachas. Okay, look what came of it. Nothing. Lo niskaimu bi. Lo niskaimu bi. The brachas weren't not niskaim bi. Which is a pele. How could he say the brachas weren't niskaim? These brachas were nevuah of Yitzchak. Asks Rav Moshe Feinstein. What does it mean? Lo niskaimu bi. You make it sound like you're koifer chas v'shalom. In the nevuah of a tzaddik, of a navi. How could it be that Yaakov is denying the legitimacy of the brachas of the Bechor? So says Rav Moshe at Dach Sachmir, doesn't mean that Yaakov means to say that the brachas weren't niskayim. What he meant was, Esav, from your perspective, what you were looking to get out of the brachas, I didn't get. You were looking for an easy life, you were looking for the good life, you were looking for fancy, you were looking for rich, you were looking for all that stuff. I didn't get any of that stuff. I didn't get that. I got what was good for me, for sure, it worked. The brachas worked for what I was looking for, but for you were looking for, it's not here. I mean, Esav, you know, had tons of money and all that stuff. He was living the life that he wanted to live. The life that Yaakov wanted to live. The pasuk says, "Vayili shor v'chamor." I have a donkey. I got an ox. I mean, what is that? It's like, that's not impressive. But for Yaakov, that was enough. So that's what he meant to say. From your perspective, the brachas that you wanted to see didn't happen. Right? The other pshat is in Lovan Garti. Pasuk says, "V'taryag mitzvos shamarti." A gematria shalemila garti. Gematria is taryag. In Lovan Garti, v'taryag mitzvos shamarti. V'lo lamadati mimaisav haroim. Shamati me Arav Rosenbaum. Shamar b'shem Arav Ruderman. V'gam ra'iti me echad me'atalmidim shel Yosef Fuchs. V'omash b'shem Arav Hut. Shem harav palm otovot. Maze imlovan garti v'tayeg mitzvah shamarti v'lo lamaiti mimaisav haroim. What does it mean? I didn't learn from his bad actions. Tayeg mitzvah shamarti. I kept the mitzvahs. Ma'o mosif v'lo lamaiti mimaisav haroim. Omesh chutz me'averus. Aside for averus, yesh od inyan. It's inyan shel hashchose. Inyan shel hashchose samidus. There's people that they're selfish people. They're people that all they care about is themselves. All they're thinking about is themselves. And they're not giving people. They're not nice people. Never mind the mitzvahs. Aside for the mitzvahs. They're not nice people. Lovan was not a nice person. Sure, he was a person that maybe, you know, looked like he was all friendly and everything, but he was always out only for numero uno. All he cared about is himself. And Yaakov says, aside for the fact that I kept the mitzvahs, Taig Mitzvah Shamarti, also the Lamarti Mimaisav Haroyim, I didn't learn how to be selfish and to be crooked like Lovan was. And the pasuk says, and he stated to him, I have a donkey, I have a whore, I have a shor, Tzon Ve'ever Shivcha. I have this, Rashi says, what does it mean? He only had one. He didn't only have one. What does it mean? Vahili shor v'chamor. Says Rashi, Linda derech eretz, that a person should, when he speaks about numerous, multiple animals, then he should speak in the Lashon Yachid. He should speak in the singular. He had plenty of shor v'chamor. But he should speak in the singular. And Moshe Feinstein explains, why speak in the singular? Why is this derech eretz? To say about the numerous cattle that you have, that it's one. He says the pshat is because a person has to learn to appreciate even the simple things that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Even if you only had one shor and one chamor, you should have what to be thankful for. You should thank Hashem for that also. People, when they amass a fortune, when they have harbeh, then they forget about to thank Hashem even for the small things. This in the last week's parasha is an unbelievable idea. Last week's parasha, Rachel names her son Yosef. Why does she name her son Yosef? So there's the pshat that says in the pasuk Hashem should be Yosef li ben Acher. But there's the pshat, Osaf Hashem is cher posi. Kadosh Baruch Hu has has gathered in my cherpa. Does anyone know what Rashi says on that? What embarrassment is she referring to? Aside from on the surface, the embarrassment of not having other children, but there's another pshat, which is what? Aaron?
Now she
brain when she something broke, she can blame it on a little kid. Now isn't that special? She's been waiting all these years for a kid. Why? Why is she waiting for a kid? Because now I got someone to blame it on. I mean, that's what you name your child. That's what you're thinking about now? About the fact that now when and Yaakov Avinu, I'm sure he got like really upset. He didn't get that angry. What happened? What is the big deal? She has someone to she broke a teapot. Yaakov Avinu is gonna be, I can't believe you broke the teapot. Oh, what's she gonna say if it wasn't me? That's what she's thankful for? That's ridiculous. And this is Pshat, everybody say, this is Pasha Pshat. Ani ma'amin she's a Pasha Pshat v'maot chashuv lanu. Which is, she had so much to be thankful for. She finally had a child. She's been waiting a long time. A shevet. She wanted this really badly. She wanted to thank Hashem for everything. Even for the smallest, teeniest little thing that she got out of having this child. Yaakov's going to get angry if she breaks a teapot? I mean, come on. But if there's even just the slightest like advantage of having a child, on the off chance, she wanted to thank Hashem for that also. She wanted to thank Hashem for it all. Thank you for not just for the fact that now I have a child and I have a shevet and I have someone to love and I have someone to care for and someone to give. It's more than that. She wants to thank Hashem. And we have to remember, sometimes we forget to give thank you for the little things. And we say thank you for the big things. That's what the Pasuk is saying over here. By Hili Shor V'Chamar. Thank Hashem for even if it was just one Shor and just one Chamar, thank you for that. And I think that's highlighted in Yaakov Avinu's personality. But the Pasuk tells us that Yaakov Avinu, the Pasuk says after Yaakov split up the families, and it says Yaakov Avinu went. Yaakov Avinu went. He was alone. Why was Yaakov alone? What was he doing alone, Yaakov? Pasuk says he went back for pachim ketanim, for the little things, for teeny little jugs of oil. Like, come on, they're just little jugs of oil. You know what I mean? Like, why is Yaakov going back for little jugs of oil? Pasuk says chavivin by tzadikin, chavivin memoyinim yosim megufon. Yaakov Avinu appreciated even the little things. Even this little thing, okay, not a big deal. You know what I mean? Just throw it out. Just leave it there. Just forget about it. Yaakov, you know, every single little thing was a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He left the Pachim Ketanim behind. He's going to go back and get them. Because they are important. Even the little things. You know, the Medrash says that these Pachim Ketanim ended up becoming extremely important Pachim Ketanim. You know about them? What? Chanukah, these pachim became the pach shemen. So sometimes you think, it's not so important, not such a big deal, it's just a little thing right over there. That little thing ended up becoming the Cinderella of Klal Yisrael, right? Which is the same thing with, the story of Cinderella is really a story in the Medrash. What do you mean, Cinderella? You got it? Now, listen to this awesome story. There's a Yid by the name of Yishai. Yishai was a big man. He was an important person. He was like a gadol. Yishai was a grandson of Rus. Now, Yishai, you know that Rus, her whole entry into Klal Yisrael was very, very controversial. A lot of people thought that Yishai, that Rus was really not a Giyoris. You're not allowed to marry people from Ammon and Moab. At least men you're not allowed to. They thought even women. Everyone thought that she was not, this was illegitimate. So Yishai actually thought of himself as illegitimate. For that reason, he felt very bad living with his wife. So Yishai separated from his wife. Okay? He separated from his wife. He said, look, you're a Jew, I'm not Jewish. We can't live together. And instead, he made up to have relations with a shifcha. This shifcha, I don't know who she was, but she informed Yishai's wife of their potential union. Yishai's wife, instead, this is a medrash, check this out, instead went in her place and had relations with her husband. He did not know that, Yishai.
Yishai thought he was having relations with a shivcha. He was having relations with his wife. He did not know that. So when his wife became pregnant a few weeks, months later, Yishai said, how'd you become pregnant? We separated. He came to the only logical conclusion, which was she was mizane, which means that this child is a mamzer. Because I didn't live with you. I mean, we separated. So it's not my child.
It would be a mamzer because he never got married in the first place.
No, no, he married his wife.
No, he's not Jewish.
Yeah, okay. So he was confused. Yishai was confused about whether he was Jewish. You got the story? So this child was born, and he was dubbed the Mamzer. His name was David Ben Yishai. He was the Mamzer. And Yishai had lots of children, and he had one Mamzer, one child who was called the Mamzer. That's what they used to call him. David was the Mamzer. And the Mamzer had to go hang out with the animals. He was the shepherd. Okay, Mamzer, go hang out with the animals. Okay, you watch the... David HaMelech was the shepherd. He was always with the sheep. Why? Because he was like the low class. You know, he was the one that... He was the accident. We don't know exactly where he came from. He's the Mamzer. Well, the Navi came to tell Yishai, Yishai, I got great news. One of your children is going to become the king. One of your children is going to become king. This is great. So Nassan says, bring me your children. So he lines up all his kids. Nope, not him. You know, he's got Ruach HaKodesh. He's a Navi. Nope. What's going on over here? Yishai, well, you got any more kids? Because this is, he said, there's no more kids? He goes, well, there's the Mamzer who's with the sheep. He said, bring that kid over here. Nassan says, this is Mashiach. This is the king. David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayim.
How many songs today?
A lot of songs. All of them. We got a lot of them. Rachel Mavak Albanel. We got it all in this respect. Now, I want to tell you something that's uncanny about this story. It sounds very much similar to me to the story of Rachel and Leah, where there's a switch going on. He ended up marrying the wrong person, or the right person, whatever it is. It's very similar. But my point is that sometimes there are things that we think they're insignificant, they're nothing, they're nobodies, and those are really the most important things that exist. The Pachim Ketanim, those are what saved Klal Yisrael. David Yishai, David's son, he was like the son that he thought, okay, I'm not going to get much out of him, he's not going to be that important. And he became his most important of his children, is David HaMelech. HaKuponim, that's the story of Yishai. That's very much connected to this week's parasha because it's Rachel and Leah happening all over again. It's just a switch because this is whatever Yehuda and it's not Rachel. Anyway, I call upon him. Pasuk continues. So the pasuk says over here like this: pasuk says. Yaakov Avinu is nervous. He's nervous about his war. Hatzileni noam yad ochi yad Esav kirei anochi yosei penavoi v'ikani im habonim. Hatzileni noam yad ochi yad Esav. Save me from my brother and from Esav. Now Yaakov only had one brother. His name was Esav. So the basic lady wants to know. Lama katuv hatzileni noam yad ochi yad Esav. Just read hatzileni noam yad. Miad Esav, Matzleni no Miad Ochi Miad Esav. Amir Abis Alevi Vort Maud Mefur Sam. It's a famous, a very important word. Mefur Sam means famous. Omer Kacha. Yaakov was concerned about two things. Yaakov was concerned about one thing is that perhaps Esav was going to come as an enemy, and that was a concern that Esav would come to try to kill him. He knew, after all, there was some animosity. There was some ill feelings about the fact that he stole the Bechori. Even though the Menekes Devorah told her, was sent to say that, you know, he's gotten over it, Yaakov was still concerned. That was one concern. But Yaakov had an even bigger concern. That even bigger concern was that he was going to come as a friend. He he was going to come as a brother. And Esav was going to try to embrace him. And he was concerned about the ill effects Esav can have by trying to integrate Yaakov into his life. And in fact, we see that both of those weapons Esav tried to use. The pasuk says that first when Yaakov came, Esav tried to bite his neck. But when that didn't work because all his teeth fell out, so then Esav said, you know what? Why don't you come ride with me? Let's ride together. Yaakov says, I can't. I got too many kids, too many children. So we go too slow. You go ahead, Esav. We'll stay around over here. I can't ride with you. Esav wanted to ride with Yaakov because Esav wanted to assimilate Yaakov. He wanted Yaakov to lose his Jewish identity. And that, in fact, is the most dangerous of all of Esav's weapons. Something I said before, I heard from Moshe Shapiro. He said, you know, Klal Yisrael has gone through numerous different challenging gullus, many different challenging authorities that have ruled over Klal Yisrael. There's been the Greeks, there's been the Spanish Inquisition, there's been the Germans, there's been the Romans, Italians. Which has been the worst for the Jewish people, for the Jewish population? And he said, he said, the worst has been the American people. America has been the worst gullus Klal Yisrael has ever lived through. Entire North America has been terrible. Not English. Not England. He said that technically there should be over 100 million Jews in America today. The amount of Jews that immigrated to America based on the amount that they have multiplied, there should be over 100 million Jews. There's around 7 or 8 million, which means that America has wiped away over 90 million Jews. America, the land of the free, America where people have the right to do whatever they want. America has done it with gold and silver, with a smile, with an embrace, with come join me. What other people couldn't do, with a sword, with a gun. America's done with a smile. That's the most dangerous thing that we have to realize, that as much as we have to be thankful that America has been very hospitable, but we have to realize that there still is a distance between us and the goyim. Esav is being nice to Yaakov. Yaakov says, listen, you just keep your distance. Okay? Because he realized that there's a difference between us. The pasuk continues, the pasuk says, Pasuk says that Yaakov sent to Esav Doroin. He did lots of things. It was Tefila, Melchama, and Doroin. Doroin is, he sent him a gift. He sent him kind of like an endowment. He was trying to appease Esav. So what did he send him? Izim Asayim, Siyoshim, Esrim, Mechelim, Asayim, Ve'ilim, Esrim. Sent him Gemalim. So you see that he has all of these things. So asks the Meshech Chochma that when Yaakov was describing what he had, he only said Vahili Shor V'chamor. So in V'shivcha, he never doesn't mention about the fact that he has Gemalim. And it's clear that he had Gemalim. And Esav is going to see those gemalim. So why is he not talking about the gemalim? Says the Meshech Chochma as follows. He says, shor is a kosher animal. Shor is a cow or an ox. Chamor is a non-kosher animal. A gomel is confused. Chamor has no simonim. No kosher simonim at all. A gomel has it chews its cut, but it doesn't have split hooves. So what Esav is saying, what Yaakov is saying as follows. Listen, you know, Yaakov, Avram Avinu, there was some good and some bad. There was a lot of good, but there was some bad that was there. It wasn't perfect. How do we know that? Because he had a child. His name was Yishmael. That came a certain soilus that still existed. Yitzchak had a lot of good, but there was still some bad. What was that? Esav. Yaakov Avinu says, there's no bad mixed up in this good. Yaakov Avinu was able to separate completely to make that all there is good. Good and bad have totally separated. They're not intertwined in any way. Gomel is out of the picture. Gomel is representing when you have some kosher, some not kosher. You have, it chooses its cut, that sounds like kosher, doesn't have split hooves, so then it's not kosher. So it's mixed. Yaakov says there's no mixture anymore. I'm all good, you're all bad. So you don't have anything over here. You can't touch me. As long as there's some bad in Yaakov, then maybe you would think that Esav has some sort of achisa. Yaakov is saying, you can't touch me. There's shor and there's chamor. You're chamor, I'm shor, I'm kosher, you're treif. There's been a complete separation. Yaakov Avinu has no longer, there's no bad in his children. Mitasa shlema, all of his children are good. Therefore, Yaakov said, Esav, there's no hope for you. You have no chance. Okay, I'll share with you one last part. That will end. The Pasuk says, this week's parasha, Yaakov is traveling. V'Yaakov nasa sukoisa, he goes to sukois. V'even lo boyis u'mekneu asa sukois. Alkein karashem hamokom sukois. Yaakov is traveling. He makes a house for himself. He makes huts for his animals, and he calls the name of the place Sukkos. Alkein Korashem Amokoim Sukkos, which is a bizarre thing. You're making houses for yourself, and you're making huts for your animals. You would name the place after what you make for yourself, or after what you make for your animals. One would think after your own things. Why is it called the name of the place after the huts that he made for his animals? Korashem Amokoim Sukkos. What's the reason for that? I think that it's tied into what we mentioned before. It says, "By tzadikim chavivin, memoinam yoiser migufam." Tzadikim care more about their money than they care about their own body. So you're making for yourself a house. You're making for your animals a hut. Which one is more important? The hut for the animals. That's his mamon. But how do you understand that? Why is tzadikim so into money? What does that mean? Their money is so important to them. So Reb David in the Sefer Mizmor LeDavid says the following explanation. He said, you know, by Rishayim, they love money. But for what purpose? Why do they love money? Because money is going to make them comfortable. Money is going to give them the creature comforts that they can enjoy this world. They can have pleasure in this world. Let's say somehow money would make you uncomfortable. So then, who needs the money? It's all about what money can do for me in this world. So if a person, let's say he leaves something that he owns, he dropped it. Is it worth the effort to pick it up, to go back and get it? Well, that depends how uncomfortable it's going to make me. That's the way the Rishayim look at things. So gufam is more chashev than memoinam, because it's all, the mamon is only there to get me to my guf. That's the whole point of the mamon. It's there in order that I should be able to celebrate my guf. But tzadikim, they have a whole different approach to mamon. Mamon is only there in order to be able to get them to do something that's significant, something that's eternal, something that's spiritual. In name kemach in Torah. If you don't have money, so then you can't learn. You can't do mitzvahs. So money is there as a vehicle to get me to ruchnias, to get me to eternity, to get me to nitzchias. So I have a whole different approach and attitude towards money. Money is not about making me comfortable. Money is not about my guf. Money is about my neshama. I need something that can help me to perfect my neshama. A person that has that type of attitude, so then he's much more careful. He looks at money as a gift that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him, and a tool to be able to get to his ruchnias, to his nitzchias. A person has that type of attitude, so then he appreciates what Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him, as seeing money as itself a vehicle to nitzchias. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu appreciated the mikneh that he had, and he took care of it. But he appreciated it not as being not as for this world, but rather as a vehicle to the next. That's why the mikneu asa sukkos, he made for them a sukkah. A sukkah is a diras arai. It is something that is temporary, because he realized that I'm not using my money for this world. It's not about making a big house in this world. It's about what the money is going to be able to bring me in the next world. So therefore, he named the Makom Sukkos to remember that all we have in this world is just to be able to bring us, to be able to help us to get schar in the Olam HaNitzchi. Rabbi Say, everyone should have a good Shabbos.